You're listening to The Daily Digestionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Hello, comrades. This is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heimbach, and I'm joined today by Mr. Jason Augustus. Jason, how are you doing? I know, for the sake of our listeners, I'll let it be known that Jason is absolutely always working. Always working, and he was up late because we have an upcoming event that we're going to be hosting along with other nationalist organizations in East Kentucky at the end of April. And he was up all night designing promos for it. So if he doesn't have the same pep he should, I'll just hit him with a cattle prod here and keep him going. But as always, I think this is a good time just to compliment you in front of thousands of people. Thank you, Jason, again, for all that you do.
Well, thank you so much. And don't think that there's going to be less pep in my step just because I've been tugging along here. I'll get all the rest I need in the grave.
As DeGrelle said, of course. So, Jason, I want to take, it's such a big discussion for all of us with what is going on in regards to the first 2 weeks of Donald Trump. I mean, things are changing day by day. Just yesterday, the acting Attorney General of the United States, Miss Yates, got to hear you're fired because she did not want to enforce his ban on immigration from countries that are prone to terrorism. Of course, missing Saudi Arabia, that's my big critique right there, because Saudi Arabia is the largest state sponsor of Islamic terror around the entire world, but a puppet state of Israel, so we know Donald Trump can't go full 1488, nor is he one of us, so we can't expect him to, but still, things are pretty amazing. So, Jason, I want to get your thoughts, because we've been talking the entire process during the campaign season, during the primaries, then into the election. Now everything that's going on. What's your 2 week wrap up?
2 week wrap up is I think we're witnessing the first anti-white White House thing happening here, because a lot of what Trump is doing, at least from what I've been following, which is peripheral mostly. I'm working most of the time.
We put you in the meme coal mine.
I'm coming out of the meme mine.
you come up, you're just covered in green soot from Pepe memes and stuff like that, and shading. You start getting vape lung from being down there so much. We got to start putting a canary next to your computer workstation for when you need to go and like eat food.
Vape lung.
Vape lung.
That's definitely a thing. That's definitely a thing. No, but from what I understand, Obama wasn't doing much different with the deportations and stuff. It's just, when Obama does it, it's fine. When Trump does it, he's literally Hitler.
Literally.
Yeah, that's what I've been seeing a lot of. But that's not to say that Trump hasn't been making some really, really cool steps that Obama obviously was not and had no desire to whatsoever. So I gotta say, it's been pretty decent the first couple of weeks. He's already done more in 2 weeks than I've seen any other president do in my lifetime. So that's a good,
That's a good step.
That's a good step.
I mean, the very fact the Attorney General, right, one of the highest lawmaker we have in the United States, was like, "Oh no, you don't understand. This is racist." And he was like, "This means you're in the unemployment line." That's a pretty good step. That's a pretty cool thing to say. I mean, it really is amazing that he's not beholden to the traditions of the way things are with everything. And Steve Bannon again, not a white nationalist. I feel like I need to get a button. Like the guys over at TRS have for their podcast that can do a pre-recorded thing, because I say not one of us so much for the Trump administration, but it's true. Legitimately not white nationalist. I don't think Steve Bannon is a white nationalist. I think he just loves America, and multiculturalism is destroying America. And that even if you don't care about the white American people as a distinct ethnic group, multiculturalism is obviously bad. Mass immigration is obviously bad. Foreign wars are obviously bad. And having Steve Bannon sitting in these high-ranking positions is a really, really exciting thing to be able to see with everything that that he's doing. So everything is tied up. I don't know. Where are we going in week three? What's your dream week three? Give me a realistic one. Nuking Israel is not on the table. So what else you got?
Man, you read my mind.
there's too many Christian holy sites. We can't
all
nuke it.
All right, you know what? Is New York on the table?
No, because that's where Melania and Baron are.
Oh boy.
We can't remove America's royal family.
Oh no. Well, I really
Chicago mean, though.
Yeah. Just give me a major city. just give me any major city.
Well, you know, it just goes to show how out of touch the cities are. I mean, I was watching yesterday. I was talking with Parrot about it. But man, the House of Lords continued to. I enjoyed the entire day yesterday because as I was working in the background, I was listening to the House of Lords and the discussion that's happening in Britain about banning Donald Trump from a state visit. So he wouldn't go and meet the Queen and couldn't address the British Parliament and everything like that. And from now on, I'm going to use the term sticky wicket. I have no idea exactly what it means, but I really, really am going to start using it because I heard it at least a dozen times yesterday. And we need to bring back that Anglo-Saxon tradition.
The UK leaders are such fart knockers. Like, these guys, I mean, like, how much more ridiculous and over-the-top for the Jew do you have to be? I mean, it's like right in your face. Why don't they just change their little flag to Israel's flag? It's so blatant at this point, it's painful to watch.
And to be fair, they did create Israel. That was their land. They you know, maybe we should just change Israel's flag to the UK flag. There you go. Make it
That's
part of the
anti-Semitic.
make it part of the empire again. Let's make Palestine great again, you know, and that's put it under British control. But, I mean, I think it just goes to show, going back to the Napoleonic Wars, the British people were financially enslaved to the Rothschild bankers. This is what happens when you let bankers in, because the bankers don't necessarily care, except in extreme cases like World War II, where obviously it was all hands on deck to sink the National Socialists, because they had to bring in the capitalists, the communists, they had to totally, you know, for decades, it said, oh, two distinct ideologies opposed to one another, but when Jewish power was threatened, it was, no, all Jews and all of our puppets on one side, and all free peoples on the other. But in most wars, the Jews will pay both sides. They'll invest both sides. They'll get debts from both sides because eventually someone's going to have to pay them. Eventually someone, you know, they're the payday loan shop of international wars. You know, you show up, man, shoot, I really need some cruise missiles. I need some more frigates. Can you help me out till payday? And it's like, yeah, but here's a 5,000% interest where your kids are going to be paying this off for the next 200 years. It's been two centuries since the British people were totally enslaved to the Rothschild bankers, and here they are, as some of their taxes, still paying off war debt from a war of white people killing other white people. This is what Jews do. This is how they enslave our nations, their finance. And actually, funny thing, so I like a page on Facebook about, like, you know, 90s, you know, millennials nostalgia, just because, you know, who doesn't like to be able to see, you know, that sort of stuff from your childhood. And there was a clip from Ants on it yesterday, and for some reason I decided to click on it, and it was very interesting. So, did you ever see Ants when you were a kid? You're a little older than I am. So.
You mean like a few years ago? Yeah, I saw the movie.
Okay, to be fair, I think it was like over, I mean, I think in like elementary school. It's been a minute.
I don't know, it's like these movies are kind of like, I don't know, you look at them and they're kind of like, you can't tell the difference. I can't tell the difference between a CG movie that was made like 20 years ago and one that was made like 20 minutes ago. they're just there. It's like, oh, you show me Toy Story 3 or something, which I've never seen. And if you were to tell me that was
made yesterday. Wait. We're going to cancel the show right here right now so we can go watch Toy Story 3 if you've never seen it.
I have not.
It'll make you cry like a baby.
I'm a man. Listen, I don't.
Yeah, and you know what? You are a man, but that movie's full of feels. there ain't no getting around that. Toy Story 3 full of feels. I want them to add that to my SPLC profile. Like, I hate the Jews. Like, let's make America white again. Toy Story 3 full of feels.
Full of feels. He doesn't care about the 6 million, but he cares about animated toys having sad times.
Literally true.
Yes.
That is literally true. Woody and Buzz and Jesse and all the other wonderful characters from Toy Story, I literally care more about them than I do anything that's alleged to have happened in World War II. That is the Lord's truth.
You remind me a lot of Woody.
Thank you.
That wasn't a compliment.
Well, you've got a friend in me, Jason. You've got a friend in me. But anyway, so Ants, right? So there's a scene in Ants where you know, the ants are being sent off to die against a war against the termites. which is actually part of this overall plot to destabilize the colony. And the Jew, the main character, tiny little ant, very weak, right, is going, trying to chase a girl, ends up finding himself in this battlefield, and they're marching off to war. And, you know, they're talking about, oh, we've got to kill the termites, we got to find their queen, we got to kill their queen, you know, oh, for the hive, for the colony, all that good stuff. And a little Jew boy ant goes, you know, why can't we just go and influence their politics with campaign contributions? And, like, the Jewiest Jew voice you've ever heard. And if that just doesn't go to tell you, like, right there, the difference, I mean, and that's a Hollywood production, and everyone knows, like, haha, that's funny, because everyone knows, it's like, that's how Jews are. When you've got, like, all the people, there's, like, you know, ants that are voiced by white actors and black actors, like, they're going off to fight for their colony, for their queen, for their people and things like that. They've got this little Jew there going, why do we have to engage in violence? I don't really want to engage in physical conflict. Why can't we just use our influence? Why can't we just use campaign contributions to control the interests of what the termites are doing? That just, they admit it. It's their jokes because it's funny because it's so true. But even in kids' movies, it's amazing the subliminal nature of the Jews being a weak, cowardly people, but also the fact they use finance to be able to control international, international trade, international finance, and of course international relations. They're not good people, and they're such a weak people. I've never understood that. How, I mean, you think about it, blank check from the United States, from Britain, from the entire world, and these guys, they can't beat dudes with rocks, like in Palestine. They can't beat, like, kids, like 9-year-old kids with a rock, like, will make an IDF soldier, like, mess his britches. If that just doesn't go to show that these people are not fighters. You can take all the anti-German, you know, anti-Nazi porn you can possibly make, you know, with the bear Jew going and killing noblemen that fought on the Eastern Front who were POWs. First of all, these people have no moral scruples. But you can try and appear super cool and have Eli Roth carry around a baseball bat, but that don't change the fact that the Jews are a cowardly, weak people.
I think the only disagreement that I have with you is the same disagreement that I had with Hitler himself, is I don't think that they're people. You say these people, they're not good people, people, they're not people, period. I think once we all come to grips with that fact, we'll be able to maybe deal with this a little easier, because when we speak to the Jew, we assume that they have some kind of moral compass, that they have something guiding their morality, something guiding their actions other than pure freaking evil.
Now, what you're saying is that I'm supposed to have a belief system that doesn't put my people first and doesn't treat you like cattle? Is that what you're saying? Is that, because that's anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
Judenrauss. Well, I mean, it's actually a funny thing. I was actually, some of my good friends over at Iron March are going ahead and actually having, not capitalizing Jew, you know, because, you know, when I write white, capitalized W in white, when I write black, you know, especially when I'm referring to Minister Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, or black separatists, you know, like guys like Marcus Garvey and stuff like that, capitalize the B in black, capitalize the A in Asian, capitalize the A in Arab, but they're proposing that we stop capitalizing the J in Jew. Because these people are, well, oh, see, there you go again. These entities, these Antichrist meat bags, that are somehow animated by forces that make the Necronomicon look like goodnight moon, that they are just absolutely trying to wage a genocidal struggle against us. They have no sense of morality. There's no way to negotiate with these people. It's like trying to negotiate with a very, very effeminate bagel-eating Terminator. You know, like, it's not as scary. I mean, I can't imagine what a Jewish Terminator would look like. You know, he'd be, have his legs blown off, be crawling towards Sarah Connor, and then he would, like, try and sell her a subprime mortgage. But they're just not, there's just no level of cross-humanity that we have with these people, because they really do hate us so much. They hate us so much. They're trying to destroy everything that is good and wonderful and holy in the world. And there's no middle ground. It's either our survival or their dominance over the entire globe. A future, you know, as Orwell said, of a boot on a human face for all eternity. That is what happens if the Jews win, and that we really shouldn't be humanizing them in any capacity, because they have so effectively dehumanized us. I mean, look at what the mainstream media is. Look at what the education system is. Look at every single thing in Western civilization. They dehumanize us. They hide and are okay with the rape of our girls in places like Rotherham. They're okay with our sons having their limbs blown off and coming home in boxes for their imperialist wars. They have no problem economically ravaging and destroying entire regions of our nations and eventually our entire nations, but you know, that we're supposed to treat them with kitty gloves. I don't think so. I think you're right. I think we should be definitely not treating them like they have a seat at the table and we can negotiate, because we can't. We literally can't.
No, you can't. You cannot compromise on the Jew, and that's even compromise with the Jew. They're not people. And with the Iron March crowd talking about lowercasing the J in Jew, I think that's a cool thing, you know, towards one another when we're discussing the Jew amongst one another, to just be like, hey, see, screw these little creatures here. We're not even going to give them the dignity of the capital J. But I think I would prefer, when I'm just talking to the general crowd, that I would capitalize frickin' everything, an exclamation point and a million echoes, because I want the Jew to be seen. But I mean, the Iron March guys are a lot more intellectual on this subject than I am. So
good guys,
they're great guys,
the best guys.
I'm gonna go with them on that route. But
which, by the way, I just want to do a quick promo for what they're doing. If you guys haven't read Noose, which is at, I think it's ripculture.com, absolutely one of the best publications, you know, and they need more writers. So anyone who's listening, if you're a TWP member, of course, we need more writers for our revamped blog that is almost done. You know how it is with technology, trying to get that done, but also our paper Action, which we absolutely love having so many contributors. We've got a very full issue that's coming out and is going to be in our party members' inboxes very, very soon. But also, if you're looking to write and you're kind of in that, you know, if you're a dedicated National Socialist or fascist and you want to be able to write more, I would suggest people go and check out Noose to be able to see if you can contribute your articles and read the stuff there, because their takedowns of so many different things, whether it's conservatism, the neoconservatives, Jewish power, the left, all these sorts of things, and even the alt-right, they do absolutely ravage the alt-right, or the alt-light in this, and they use an amazing amount of quotations that you really can't find many places from National Socialist thinkers, guys like James Mason, who wrote Siege, and Commander Rockwell, and all these resources that are just not readily available, but they really ground everything in solid National Socialist and fascist philosophy. So I just want to do a quick little shout out to them and encourage everyone to check them out. I go back and reread their articles multiple times because they're really that good.
Yeah, shout out to my homeboys down at Iron March.
We the goys in the hood. No, it's absolutely amazing stuff. So, I mean, things are politically going great. I just lose 10 minutes. You know, it's like sometimes you lose yourself, and I lose like 10 minutes in an anti-Semitic rant, because I can't not be angry. I can't not be angry at these things. Every single day I wake up, and like I go to the news and like something horrific has happened and I'm like, son of a gun, is there going to be a Jew? And then like, oh no, that was Black Lives Matter and they're funded by a Jew. It always ends at the Jew. You know, it's if I had the luck of when a bad thing happened to white people or to our civilization and you pull the lever and it comes up JJJ or Star of David, if I had that luck at the casino, we would now be living in Uruguay in like a white ethno state right now. We would have a fortified island right now if I had that much luck at the casino, is every single time there are Jews behind all the things that we're facing.
So, a little off topic here, when are we getting our ethno state? Because California's leaving. Can we leave?
I set my, you know, let my people go there, Shlomo. I mean, if California leaves, it will absolutely set things in the right path, because the American experiment will be over. Let's just realize it isn't working. This is, oh, hey, by the way, before I forget, I want to get off topic. So yesterday, Parrot and I, we were discussing doing a takedown of everything that was going on with the shooter in Quebec. Turns out it was a white dude. Womp, womp. Womp, womp. It still wasn't Matt Forney, though, no matter what the media initially reported. He's a madman, but he couldn't pull that off from Hungary, where he now lives and works and does an amazing amount of work for the alt-right. But yeah, it was a white dude. And, you know, my thoughts on this? Don't care. Don't care.
I'm checking. Wait, hang on. Let me.
Hold on. Open the cares bag right, that we have here at the Daily Traditionalist headquarters. Open up the cares bag.
Not a single one.
we're all out.
I'm all out of them.
Because you know how you solve this problem? You know how you solve this problem, Jason?
Wait a minute. Is it to remove brown people?
They shouldn't be here in the first place. They just shouldn't. They really, really shouldn't. You know. And, yeah, blah, blah, blah. Right now, there's some Jew right now who's clacking out an article or something like that about Matthew Heimbach doesn't think there's anything wrong with what happened. No, see, here's the thing. When it comes to sympathy, one of my good friends and one of our members that was in the Traditionalist Youth Network was killed 2 years ago. It was just the anniversary. Was killed 2 years ago in a traffic accident. He was riding his motorcycle, and illegal immigrants pulled out. Of course, they didn't have licenses. They shouldn't have been here in the first place. Pulled out in front of him and actually killed him. And those of you that saw my that were actually at Stormfront, a few of my listeners, you know, were there at Stormfront back in 2014. They actually met this guy. He was one of the ones providing security, a good friend of mine, guy I'd known for years, and he was killed by illegal immigrants who shouldn't have been here in the first place. Right now, as we're listening to this show, there is an illegal immigrant, there is a foreigner, whether you know here in the United States, in Britain, in Germany, in Sweden, in Finland, in any of these nations where people are dying. Our people are dying right now. Our daughters are being raped right now. They live streamed last week in Europe 3 hours of a violent, horrific rape, again, on Facebook, of one of our own where they drugged a girl and then gang raped her. So, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm not. Hold on, let me check the sorry bag. Nope. Nope, that's empty too. That this isn't working, and I'm not gonna. You know, my heart bleeds for my people. Now, I want a situation where everyone's gonna have their own nation. These people should go back to their nations. I hope they make their nations great again. I hope they build wondrous things. I hope they come up with great new inventions. I hope they do all sorts of wonderful stuff. Not a single drop of animosity. If you're going to be in your nation, I encourage it. That is the solution to world peace. That's the solution to pushing things forward as a species and to bring about an era of prosperity. But you need to be in your nation. And I'm not going to feel sorry when you're talking about these networks that are here in Canada, here in the United States, here in Western Europe. There are so many of these mosques. The vast majority of mosques are actually funded by Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Arabian mosques, of course, are Wahhabi, which is the most violent form of radical Islamic extremism. Almost every single mosque in the United States, a lot of the prison chaplains as well, are radicalizing people. And you know what? Even if you're not going and volunteering to fight for ISIS or you're not going to run people down in a truck, if you're going to a mosque and you're a part of this overall culture that is promoting this ideology of trying to murder my family, trying to subjugate my brothers and sisters in Christ around the world, and are working as a puppet government, essentially, which is what Saudi Arabia is, to the Jews, to the Zionist interests, I'm sorry, but you've thrown yourself on the other side of the aisle. Now, I do not encourage violence. We need to be a legal, peaceful political movement. Obviously, what happened, don't do that. Don't do it. If it crosses your mind, don't do it. Don't put bacon on the mosque. Don't put a pig head there. Don't do any of that stuff, because that allows the media to attack us, allows them to demonize us. And the problem, again, is it's not the Muslims that are in the local Wahhabi mosque. It's not their, it's not them. It's not even the Saudis. It's the Jews. It always goes back to the Jews. The Jews are the ones who are financing these operations. They're the ones that have aligned with Saudi Arabia. They're the ones that promote it. They're the ones that are patching up ISIS fighters in Israel as we speak right now. So you can go back on the battlefield to kill nationalists in Syria, Russians, Hezbollah fighters, Iranians and Syrians. That are fighting for the self-determination of their nations to push back the Zionist hydra. You know, we need to understand and identify the real problem. So that's going after and politically changing the politicians to get these people out of here, to send them back, and to create a world without Jewish power in it so that each people, that millions aren't displaced, that these ideologies like Wahhabism are not promoted around the world. And we can work with Muslims like Bashar al-Assad, or Hassan Nasrallah and others, to be able to destroy Zionism, have a peaceful Middle East, have a more peaceful world. But this multiculturalism thing ain't working out. It just ain't. And I'm sorry, my heart's going to bleed for the little girl who loses her father in a traffic accident like that with illegal immigrants. My heart's going to bleed for the for the grandma or the grandfather that's going to the store and gets mugged and beaten. You know, when I see, I've got friends in South Africa, and I see their posts every single day about the next atrocity that's happening against an Afrikaner or a farming family and things like that. My heart bleeds for them. I only got so much room in this damn thing. And my focus is on my people. And if we don't want this to happen, if we don't want tension, Mr. Trudeau and every single person like that, Angela Merkel, these people need to go home, because these are our lands. They have been settled by us. They've been built by us. These are our nations. I want these people to be in their own nations. But multiculturalism leads to violence. And it's never reported when the violence is against our people. It's never a front page news story when what happens to us occurs every single day, with the rapes, the robberies, the beatings, the intimidation, families being forced out of their homes, their neighborhoods, where they might have lived for generations, because they just don't feel safe anymore. I mean, you're a testament to that, Jason. My heart bleeds for our people, and we need to start putting our cares, when this care bag gets refilled, it's going towards my people, and it just is.
Well, what's in my care bag is for nationalists.
It's care bears, actually.
Care bears.
the ultimate sign of caring.
I care about nationalists. Multiculturalism affects everyone. It's like one of those drug commercials. You know?
This is your brain on multiculturalism. Yeah. Smash the egg.
You see the family ruined, and it ruins your life, and you're a mess. That's multiculturalism. Just replace whatever drug they're talking about on the commercial with multiculturalism, and you got it. And my heart does go out to every victim of multiculturalism. But I would be dishonest if I said I really, really, truly gave a crap every single time someone outside of my tribe was hurt. And this is as a nationalist should feel. That's not to say that you're heartless or that you don't care. It's just that we as people have limits to our sympathy, especially when the cards are so stacked against us in current year. As much as things are shaping up, we extend our hands to nationalists around the world of all different peoples. But I mean, we really got to be honest with how we feel about these things when they happen. Otherwise, we come off as disingenuous to nationalists that are other peoples.
By our powers combined, Russia, Iran, America, Europe, united we become Captain Nationalist. That would be a hilarious cartoon, actually, if we did a Captain Nationalist where, instead of pollution like Captain Planet, it was just the Jews. The evil skulking Jews would come up with an evil plot that would be destroyed through national solidarity and cooperation. That needs to happen. That's a brain blast right there. That's a Jimmy Neutron reference. We need to go ahead and make that happen. Jason, get cartooning. Learn how to. You already do our video. You already do our audio. You already do our graphics. I need to become a cartoon artist in the next 48 hours. Can you do that?
Well, I've already been working on Toon Boom, so I should be able to animate at least something within the next couple of months. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shock you on that one. But I'm already ahead of you on the curve on that one.
This guy. Now, as we're coming to the end of our show, actually, a request to my listeners. We want to go ahead and, as a tribute to our comrades in National Action, that, of course, were banned, their White Zone flyers and stickers, amazing. There's a lot of different ideas that we have for the party that involve needing people with artistic skill, not just graphics work, but actually being able to put a fancy pen to paper and make that happen. So I would encourage anyone with artistic talent, give us a holler. At contact@tradworker.org, because we've got some ideas and we'd love to be able to have some more community involvement. And you too might be able to see your propaganda appear on the international media when Jews lose their minds about seeing this at college campuses or things like that. It's a pretty exciting thing. But Jason, coming to the end of the show, I want to do something a little different than usual. Your final thoughts are going to be, where can people find your music and where can people support you?
Where am I left standing? Man, I've been banned from pretty much everywhere. I guess you could just go to 14sacredwords.com where they can't ban me because, like, I pay for them not to do that.
It's like protection money to the mob.
Yeah, it's like you gotta pay the loan sharks. That's the last place standing, or, you know, you can find me on Bandcamp, Jason Augustus, or 14 Sacred Words.
Don't forget, where do they want it? If they want a t-shirt, where can they get it?
Fashion Emporium?
Well, no, Upsilon Creations.
Oh, yeah, we got that. I do that, too. I'm sorry. Listeners, I do a lot of stuff. I lose track of the stuff that I do.
Just all of it.
Yeah.
But Upsilon Creations, you can go ahead, look it up. You can get t-shirts to support Jason's work. He does an amazing amount of work. 14 Sacred Words. And comrades, we are rocking and rolling. It's a great time. So we're going to be here tomorrow with another edition of our show. Jason, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you to all my listeners. And God bless each and every single one of you. Got to look forward to being back tomorrow. So talk soon and hail victory.
You've been tuned into The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heimbach at RadioArea.com.